Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started last week talking about healing, and I've been just trying to establish that healing is not optional. It is something that Jesus died to produce, and it really bothers me, and I believe it bothers God, the way that His church has just chosen to accept the forgiveness of sins as being the essential part, and then His healing that He provided, His prosperity, His deliverance, and all of the other benefits, those are things that are negotiable, and you may or may not receive them. I tell you, that bothers me. I believe it bothers God. You know, if I was God, and if I somehow or another died for you, but I not only paid for your sins, but I also died for the healing of your body. We've used those verses in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and also 1 Peter 2, 24. And I died for your deliverance and all of these things. And if I suffered and I bore things for you, and then you come to me and say, oh, well, thank you so much. But you know what? I think I'm just going to take this portion over here about the forgiveness of my sins. I didn't even deserve that. I feel so unworthy. I'm just going to take this and I'm going to let these others go. It would make me think, well, then why did I suffer? Why did I go to this? Why did I provide this if you aren't going to take it? It wouldn't please me. I don't believe it pleases God. You know, my dad was the chairman of the deacons in the Baptist church that I grew up in. And he was a godly man. He led other people to the Lord. He was a good man. But in the Baptist church, they just preached that salvation was just the forgiveness of sins. It wasn't the healing of your body. It wasn't these other things. And because of it, my dad was sick my whole life. He died when I was 12 years old. And the whole time, he never threw a ball with me. He never did any of these things because he was always sick. He even had a lounge chair at his office. He was the vice president of an insurance company, and so he was one of the executives, but he just had to take a nap every day. He came home, he laid in his chair. He was sick my whole life, and he died when I was 12, just a month after I had turned 12 years old. When I was 11 years old, he was in a coma and all of these things, and that happened because that church just decided that the important thing is the forgiveness of sins. That's what they preach. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so that's what he had faith for. And he was saved, and he got other people saved, and he was a good man and did a lot of good things. But he died. And I was fatherless at the age of 12. My mother was in her 40s, and she was a widow and had to support me and my brother were still at home. My sister was already gone. All of those things happened because people just chose to believe that that wasn't important. I tell you, that doesn't please God. It caused grief in my life, grief in my family. There was problems because people just chose to separate it. I'm telling you, it's not separate. Healing is a part of what Jesus died to do, and I'm as determined to take advantage of the healing that Jesus provided is I am the forgiveness of sins and the prosperity and everything else. Listen to what Jesus said here in John chapter 5 and in verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And then in verse 30 of John chapter 5 also, it says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. The reason I'm reading these scriptures is to show you that Jesus modeled for us what God is like and what God's will is. He says, I can't do anything by myself. I don't operate independent of the Father. Anything that I do is because I saw the Father do it. And you put this together with Hebrews chapter 1. Let me just turn over here and read this. In verse 3 it says, talking about Jesus was superior to any manifestation, superior to the Old Testament angels or anything that had happened. And in verse 3 it says, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Now this is talking about Jesus And it's contrasting that in the Old Testament, people represented God, but it wasn't a perfect representation. The Old Testament law wasn't a perfect representation. It was just in part until faith should come, is what it says in Galatians chapter 3. But Jesus, who was the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. The word express image means a perfect representation, an exact copy. Jesus did everything perfectly. Perfectly. He didn't fail. He wasn't incomplete. He showed us everything about His Father. He even said in John chapter 14, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." That's how perfectly Jesus represented the Father. So the reason I bring all this up is to say that Jesus showed us the Father perfectly, and you can never, ever find Jesus putting sickness on a person or telling a person, "You haven't learned your lesson yet. You need to bear this sickness more until you learn your lesson." If He represented God the Father perfectly, well then, His lack of doing any of these things shows us that God is not the one who puts sickness on us. God is not the one who wills that we suffer until we learn our lesson and stuff like that. Just the opposite. I've already quoted this verse, but in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, this is where Peter was preaching the gospel to Cornelius, and he was telling him about Jesus, and he said in Acts 10, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Ghost, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He healed all, not some, but all. In the Greek, that word means all. Amen. It means He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Not just a few, but all of them. That's major. And if Jesus could not operate independent of the Father, if He only did what He saw His Father do, then that right there shows us that it is God's will to heal all. And somebody says, "Well, not everybody's healed." Well, not everybody's saved. But does that mean that it's not God's will for them to be saved? Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That is God's will. But God's will is dependent upon our choices. God doesn't force His will upon us. He doesn't make you get saved. Neither will He make you get healed. But it is God's will for you to be healed, just exactly the same as it's God's will for you to be saved and forgiven of your sins. Just the fact that people don't get saved doesn't mean that God doesn't will it. The fact that people don't get healed doesn't mean that God doesn't will it. God's will does not automatically come to pass. And I tell you, that is important. And I've got other teachings. You know, again, we're offering this little MP3 thing that has 43 hours worth of teaching that I consider to be necessary to really understand and receive your healing. And one of those teachings in there is against what is commonly called the sovereignty of God, that God just controls everything and His will comes to pass and whatever happens is God's will. That will get you sick. That'll cause you to die. If you think that God wills it, then you aren't going to resist it. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." There are some things from God, there are some things from the devil. You submit to the things that are from God, you resist the things that are from the devil. The word resist means to actively fight against. And yet Christians have been made passive towards sickness. They actually believe that God allows it. In some cases, God causes it, that it's punishment, that He's trying to work some redemptive purpose in you. And all of these things make you passive towards sickness. You actually embrace it. I've actually heard people say that this is God's love. Matter of fact, there's this guy. We're going to play this testimony later in this series, but in our fourth volume on healing, Andrew Mullins was healed of a terminal cancer. I think he was 17 months old when he first got it. And his father, Mike Mullins, was working for a Christian organization. And this Christian organization said, "God loves you so much. He counts you so worthy that He thought you were able to handle this cancer and glorify." And they blamed God for this cancer. And Mike, at the time that it happened, that's what he'd been taught, but he was struggling. He loved his son. How could a loving God put cancer? He saw his son suffering, and he knew, I wouldn't do this. How can a loving God do this? And that's when he was exposed to my teaching. He got hold of these exact same things I'm sharing with you. He believed God. His son, Andrew, was totally healed of cancer and is completely cancer-free today. And yet Mike got kicked out of this Christian organization that he worked for because he said God healed him. They were quick to say, God did this. God blessed you with this cancer. God is killing your son because he loves you so much. Man, that's perverted. But when his son got healed, they kicked him out of the organization. They said, you don't serve the same God that we serve. And he said, you're right. Man, he served a good God. I'm telling you, it's weird. The Bible says that in the end times they'll call evil good and good evil, and that's what we see happening today. There are people saying that God is the one that puts this sickness on you, that this is God's will. This is either God's punishment or he loves you so much that he's causing you to suffer and be in pain and spend millions of dollars and do all of this because he's such a good God. Man, that's confusing. You know, I'm not going to mention names. I could, and if I mention this guy's name, nearly every one of you would know who I'm talking about. But there is a man who is very famous, very powerful today, who when he was a kid, he belonged to a Presbyterian church, and his sister, who he was very close to, got some sickness and died. And the Presbyterian church said God is the one who killed her. It was God's will. God controlled this. That this was God's love manifest. He was trying to make everybody better. And this man at a young age said, if that's God, I hate him. And he grew up and he's now a professed atheist. He's one of our largest media moguls that owns multiple stations, and he's doing everything he can to change the Judeo-Christian ethic of the United States and the world. His stations go around the world, and he, by his own admission, that's what turned him against it, was people blaming God for killing his sister. I'm telling you, that's not God. God's not the one who comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. That's the devil. God is a good God. God wants you well. And this religious stuff that is teaching us that God is the one putting all of this sickness and disease on you is wrong. It is not what the Scriptures teach. Again, Jesus said, I'm doing only what I see my Father do, and he healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Not oppressed of God, oppressed of the devil. Here's a footnote from one of my verses. I believe it's Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. And let me just read some of this to you. It says, there are 17 times in the gospel where Jesus healed all of the sick that were present. And I've got every one of these listed. 17 separate times where Jesus healed all of the sick that were present. There are 47 other times where he healed one or two people at a time. And I've got every one of those listed. Nowhere do we find Jesus refusing to heal anyone. In light of Jesus' statements that he could do nothing of himself, but only what he saw his Father do, that's John 5, 19, and also John 8, 28 through 29, his actions are proof enough that it is always God's will to heal. Healing is a part of the atonement, and Jesus showed that to us. Jesus never put sickness on a person. If he truly represented his Father, and if God is the one that puts sickness on people, well, then Jesus didn't represent his Father properly because he never put sickness on a person. He never told a person, I'm not going to heal you because you hadn't learned your lesson yet. I tell you, this is powerful. You know, this little booklet right here is one of the things that we're making as a free gift to you. If you'll call in, we'll send this to you. And there was a woman who had been a partner of ours, and she was diagnosed with terminal cancer and given only, I think, 3 weeks or something like that to live. And she lived up north, but she had a friend in Florida who let her go down to Florida and live in her house and just die in this house down there in the warm climate. So anyway, this woman called my ministry and talked to somebody, told us about the diagnosis, and says, I'm going to Florida, so I'm not going to be here. Quit sending the materials and take me off your mailing list because I'm dying. And our prayer minister ministered to them, prayed for them, and then sent them this little booklet right here as a free gift. And on the back of this is this footnote, and every one of these instances, there are a total of 64 verses listed right here where Jesus healed every single person that came to Him. And this woman went down to Florida expecting to die. She took this little thing and just started reading it, looked up every one of these verses. And it was either 2 or 3 months later that our prayer minister did a follow-up call. We make outbound calls to people who have a problem and call in to us. And so they called out to this person and got hold of this lady and asked her what happened. And this lady said, oh, I went down there to die, but I got to study in these scriptures. And she says, I'm totally healed. The cancer was completely gone. She never went back to the doctor. And 3 months later, she was just totally healthy. All of the tumors were gone and everything, because God's word is health unto all of your flesh. I'm telling you, God wants you well. And just believing that. Now, there's more to it, and I'm going to get into other things, talking about, all right, if He wants us well, then how did we do it? How do we appropriate it? There's things that we need to learn, and yes, I'm going to share more with you. But I'm saying that you can't go beyond this point. If you waver in the fact that God wants you well, you are not going to get well. Let me share a scripture with you out of James chapter 1. It says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, and this isn't limited to just receiving wisdom or revelation. I believe that if any of you lack healing, if any of you lack prosperity, if any of you lack anything, God's already provided it. You just need to pray and receive the wisdom of how to get it. But this is saying, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. This is saying that for you to receive from God, you've got to ask and believe that you receive without wavering. If you waver, you're like a person that's out on the water just going up and down with the waves. You're unstable. A person that wavers will not receive anything of the Lord. So if you believe that God can heal, but you don't believe it's God's will to heal, then you're going to waver. Because you'll wonder, is it God's will to heal me? Satan will make you doubt. Another verse that goes right along with this is in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. It says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. It says you have to believe you receive when you pray, and then you shall, future tense, have it. But you have to believe that you receive right then. How can you believe that God has healed you if you don't know for sure that it's God's will? What you have to do is just pray a prayer like, oh God, if it be your will. I know that there's probably people watching this program who say, well, Jesus prayed that. No, He didn't. He never prayed, if it be your will. What He prayed was, Father, here's what I want, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That was a prayer of yielding and commitment, submission to God. He wasn't praying, God, I don't know what your will is. Is it your will for me to die on the cross? That's not the way He prayed. It's not right to pray and say, if it be your will, and just leave it hanging, because you can't believe that you received if you don't know it's God's will. You've got to stand on scriptures like 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15 says, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. That's a lot of assurance and knowing, but it's all conditional on you knowing God's will. And I'm telling you, if you waver in this, if you think, well, God, I know you can heal, but will you heal me? You're going to die. I'm not saying that to hurt you. I'm saying it to enlighten you and to tell you that you got to move beyond that. You got to get to a place to where you know that it's God's will. I've shared hundreds of scriptures with you in the last 7 programs. I have literally shared lots of things. We've shared testimonies with you. We've shown other people who received healing. What does it take to convince you that God wants you well? You know, here's a reasoning that I've used with a lot of people. I remember this one guy who was in bed, and he just wasn't sure God wanted to heal him. He was so close to death that they expected him to die in the hospital the week before, and he just kept surviving, so they used an ambulance and brought him home, and he couldn't even sit up or hold a phone up to it. I went over to his house, and he was just, "I'm not sure God wants me well." So I used his wife as an example. I said, "Do you believe that your wife, if she had the ability to heal you, do you think she would just want you to be in this state, that she'd want you to suffer?" And this guy immediately, "Oh, no." He says, "My wife would do anything for me. If she could, she would take my place and suffer what I'm suffering so that I could go free." And I said, "And you think God Almighty, who has the power to heal you, loves you less than your wife?" And see, when I presented it to him that way, immediately all of his doubts and stuff began to leave. This is exactly the logic that Jesus used in Luke chapter 11, where he says, "Which of you, you know, being a father, if your son asks a piece of bread, how many of you will give him a stone? If he asks a fish, how many are going to give him a serpent? If he asks an egg, how many will give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" He used this same logic that if we would treat people better than this, why do we think that God Almighty, who the Scripture says, 1 John 4:8, is love? He loves more than any human being ever could. If we would love people enough to heal them, why do you think that God Almighty loves less than you do? If you went around putting sickness and disease on people and smiting them with cancer and causing blindness and deafness, I guarantee there's not a civilized nation on the face of the planet that wouldn't put you in jail or execute you. That's terrible. It's wrong. It's considered evil. And yet religion has said this is what God does. God has done this because He loves you so much. And because of that, it's rendered us passive. We have accepted and embraced our sickness instead of doing what James 4:7 says about you have to resist the devil and he will flee from you. You can't waver. You've got to know that God wants you well and believe it and start fighting against this thing. I'm telling you, this is what I've done the first 7 programs, is just try and get across that healing is a part of the atonement. The Lord doesn't want you sick any more than He wants you to be in sin. If you got to where you hated sickness as much as you hate sin, if you resisted sickness as much as you resist sin, you'd be well. But we've been taught to embrace it, to accept it, that maybe God's got a sovereign purpose, some redemptive purpose in you being sick. Baloney. That's just wrong. I'm telling you, I know that I'm offending a lot of people, but I am offended that people sit there and misrepresent God as the one who has made you sick. God wants you well. And I believe that if you would receive what I'm saying, it would cause the miraculous power of God to start working in your body and you could be healed today.
Today's teaching titled, God Wants You Well, is available as part of the God Wants You Well package. This package includes the entire God Wants You Well teaching series on CD, the God Wants You Well book, the companion study guide, the God Wants You Well booklet, and Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4. Together, the 4 Healing Journeys DVDs contain a total of 19 healing testimonies that will inspire your faith and help you reach out to receive all that God has for you. This package has a catalog value of $182, but today you can get these valuable resources for a gift of just $100 or more. In addition, all individual products mentioned on today's program can be ordered through our website by going to awmi.net and clicking on Today's TV Offer. Also, if you'd like to receive more of Andrew's teachings on healing, you can find them on the Healing MP3 Drive. This easy-to-use card connects to your computer with an attached USB cable and includes over 43 hours of related teachings on healing. Purchased separately on CD, these teachings have a value of $268, but you can get them all in MP3 format on this Healing MP3 drive for a gift of $85 or more. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled, Healing is in Christ's Atonement. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download many free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember, you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of March, he'll be in Yorba Linda, Riverside, Pasadena, and Santa Clara, California, and in Woodland Park, Colorado for Caris Bible College Campus Days and for the grand opening celebration for the new Caris Bible College campus. In April, he'll be in Mobile and Birmingham, Alabama, in Atlanta, Georgia, at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park for a Good Friday celebration and an Easter sunrise service, in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, in Detroit, Michigan, and in Chicago, Illinois. In May, he'll be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, in Telford, England, and in Wiesbaden, Germany. And in June, he'll be in Nice, France, and again in Woodland Park, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
What do you do when one of your children is diagnosed with stage 4 cancer? Mike and Esther Mullins had a choice to make: to accept the virtual death sentence for their son and beg God for a miracle, or to take a stand and act on the revelation that God wants you well. Take a healing journey with the Mullins family. Healing Journeys Volume 4. Now available on DVD at awmi.net. Have you ever wanted to check out back issues of Gospel Truth magazine from Andrew Womack Ministries? They're available online at awmi.net. Just log on to our website, look to the left, and click on Extras. Then look to the left again and click on Online Magazines. Once you're there, you're free to browse through our selection of Gospel Truth magazines from years past. Check out some great articles and be sure and check out the current issue while you're at it. Gospel Truth Magazine, now available online at awmi.net.